This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Researchers at Duke University are looking to drones to support marine science. Duke opened a new facility in Beaufort to learn more about the nesting habits of birds and turtles and how to use drones in the research process. The new center represents a growing interest in pilotless flight in North Carolina and across the United States. Drones bring great promise for many industries and individuals, but there are also a number of safety risks involved. Triangle Business Journal reporter Lauren Onasorge has been following the drone usage story. In this state, she joins us now to give us the latest. Hello, Lauren.
Hi, Frank.
Tell us about Duke's new lab on the coast.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So far, much of what we've been seeing involving drones in the state, unsurprisingly, has to do with agriculture. Farmers serving tens of thousands of acres of crops. This is a really interesting development because they are very interested in putting a new spin on this, tracking conservation efforts. What they're doing is they're tracking birds, they're tracking sea turtles, and they're not doing it in North Carolina yet. They're waiting on an FAA exemption, but once they get that, they're hoping to emulate some of the projects they've done in places such as Costa Rica. I mean, imagine rescuing wildlife. It's very difficult to get to some of these creatures, obviously. I mean, some of them are out in the ocean, some of them are out in marshland, and then here's this new technology that offers a pretty easy avenue of access. So they're excited to explore how they can use it.
And it is a blend of technologies. It's not only the technology that allows you to fly the drones, but also the monitoring techniques, whether you're using infrared or other ways, not just visual, to track and going back to agriculture to look for molds and other things. So it's a real...
It's amazing. Yeah, there's a company here called Precision Hawk that's developing some of this technology that farmers are using, and they can identify yields. They're no longer estimating based on acreage. They're looking at these individual plants, and they can tell everything from which area of your field needs more water, where the problems are. I mean, it's amazing what they can tell from the skies.
So when we look at Duke's new research lab at Beaufort, what kind of projects are they already involved in, or have they started?
They actually just came back from a project in Costa Rica where they've been working with UNC scientists looking at sea turtles, nesting habits, tracking sea turtles, that kind of thing. And they're hoping to do a project very similar to that on the Carolina coast.
It's going to take some of the fun out of it for all those TV nature shows, though, the guys going in the khaki shorts in the wild with their nets and stuff.
Well, I'm sure they can also wear khaki shorts if they're... figuring out how to navigate these drones. And it's interesting because there are obviously so many rules outlining what you can and can't do. And you're supposed to keep your drone in a line of sight, for example. And there's a lot of research going into how to make it safer so that that requirement doesn't necessarily exist. Because then you have sort of the same problem, right? If you have a place that's really difficult to access and you're trying to get a drone in to shoot a photo or video of wildlife and you have to be within line of sight, I mean, that's difficult. So they're researching ways to get around that.
What are some of the other rules that govern drones right now?
Well, right now, if you're using a drone for a commercial or a research purpose, you are very likely doing it illegally. You have to apply for an exemption from the FAA, and they're not giving those out lightly. So it's difficult to get an exemption. We do have companies and research efforts in North Carolina that have received those exemptions. Precision Hawk is one of them, obviously. North Carolina State University has a research program that is flying in different parts of the state. So there are definite regulations. Hobbyists are allowed to fly, but they have to follow certain rules, such as not to fly over 400 feet, things like that.
Well, give us a sense of how drones have grown. I know we have some data nationally just to see how fast they are starting to fill our skies.
Yeah, I have some good numbers for you, actually. So let's look at June of 2014. Pilots in a variety of different aircraft, including commercial air carriers, reported spotting 16 unmanned aircraft. That was last June. Now, this past June, 138 pilots reported seeing drones. So it's pretty interesting how this has increased very rapidly. All of last year, 238 sightings by pilots. Just by August 9th of this year, the FAA tells me that it's more than 650. So obviously, there are more in the skies.
Yeah, it's growing fast. And even, you know, you talked about the licensing and some of the restrictions. Even people who are using them for commercial purposes, like farmers, are really having to contract with folks who have the licenses, right?
Theoretically. I have talked to a lot of farmers who have their own drones, and they are in the skies. And they say that they are flying them in an ethical way, but theoretically, they are supposed to contract out for those services with a company such as Precision Hawk. But the FAA knows that this isn't always being done, so they've started an initiative as well. And Precision Hawk, the Raleigh company I just referenced, they are a partner as a CNN BNSF Railway, and what they're trying to create is sort of a software fence that tells the drone, whether the operator wants it to or not, where it can and cannot fly. So that way, if you're operating one of these unmanned devices, you wouldn't be able to get into airspace. So they're working on technological fixes for those kinds of situations.
Yeah, and that's the technological enforcement tool if those kinds of fixes work. But what about the other side? Is the FAA or the state at the point of trying to crack down?
Well, the FAA will crack down. I mean, they have very clear rules in place. They sent me a release that said unauthorized operators may be subject to stiff fines and criminal charges, including possible jail time. So they say they are taking this very seriously.
All right. And what do we have any growth projections for the use of drones? Again, you've got hobbyists and all these other commercial and academic applications. Do we have a sense of how fast they might be growing in the next few years?
Yeah, it's pretty significant. And there's so many industries that want a piece of this. It's not just farming. Oil and gas, think about it. They have these big facilities out in the ocean, and those things need to be monitored and need to be monitored quickly and easily. So there's an application. Land surveying. I was speaking to a research team who is considering using these during bridge construction. Imagine just being able to send a drone to figure out if a structure is stable. Or even in search and rescue operations, they can get where people can't. So it's very interesting where this could go, and people are extremely excited. Obviously, there's controversy, but a lot of the researchers and entrepreneurs that I'm talking to are just incredibly excited about the potential for jobs, investment, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and what about that potential? It seems to me, just on the surface of it, that there are far lower barriers to entry to get into that business. I mean, a lot of it is the software and the machines themselves, the vehicles themselves look pretty small. It's not like you've got to be Boeing to get into this business. Is it an inviting business? Are there low barriers to getting started in this business?
Well, right now, it's difficult to get started because you need that exemption, obviously. But yeah, there are so many opportunities out there. I was just speaking with the CEO of Precision Hawk last week, Bob Young. You may know him as a former CEO of Red Hat. They're telling me that they are hiring drone pilots right now. The goal is to send them on a project basis to tackle some of these efforts. And I know North Carolina State University is trying its best to train people for this new industry. And again, it's sort of which way it will go right now and where the regulations will come into play. But it's extremely interesting.
Well, and Precision Hawk is interesting in itself in that it is based in Raleigh, which is, of course, a technological hub. I mean, how important was that for Precision Hawk? Maybe you can tell us more about the background of that company, how it got started. How important is it for them to be in a place like Raleigh?
It's extremely important. They're close to talent here. I mean, the same reason that you have all of these tech companies coming to the Triangle, we have IBM, we have Cisco, we have NetApp, we have these huge technology giants that are really helping to foster this tech talent pool. And Precision Hawk was attracted to that. It was founded in Canada. The researchers have received investment from all over the world, including from Bob Young. And they've settled in Raleigh, and they tell me they're pretty excited to be here.
Getting back to where we started, the Duke Research Lab in Beaufort, how much of that is research on, how much of that is really devoted to understanding what drones can do and how to operate drones, and how much of it is the actual marine science? Is this facility sort of aiming, focused on both?
Well, they're focused on, they have a lot of different areas, actually. Not only are they going to fly research missions for both private and public partners, they're also going to offer classes starting next year to train students and working professionals in how to use these aircraft in coastal research and conservation. So obviously, training is a big part of this. And interestingly, outreach programs to local high schools are also in the cards. So they have a lot that they want to tackle, and they're not sitting around waiting on this FAA exemption. They're planning other projects and really delving into how they can use this technology.
Lauren, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us.
Likewise. Thanks, Frank.
Lauren Onosorge is a reporter for the Triangle Business Journal. She's been following the state of drones in North Carolina. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we'll go behind the boots of Wonder Woman to preview a new play that explores her history and significance. You'll hear all about it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.